Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Good evening. Good evening. And welcome to the show. Welcome. Thanks for coming. And I'm joined on the panel this week by two fine conveyors of Christmas comedy. It's Ellis James and Matt Lucas. How good is that? The season so far has been possibly the most ludicrous ever. Leicester are top, Crystal Palace and Watford are in the top seven, and Chelsea are 15th. Definitely a case of the have-nots being better than the haves. Although in the Premier League, have-not is, of course, a relative term, the owner of Leicester City being a Thai businessman worth a mere $2 billion. Ellis, we've come a long way since your local self-made businessman took over the club.
It's like Franny Lee made all his money in toilet rolls, didn't he?
He did.
Took over Man City.
Is that right? Through the toilet roll business. Whereas now, even the toilet roll business would not be enough.
Yeah, no, I mean, you'd need to sell trillions of toilet rolls for centuries to make enough money to buy Leicester City.
You've worked that out.
Well, yeah, you know, yeah. Sort of toilet roll guy I am.
I mean, the actual season...
People always need a poo.
That's true.
Fun. Especially around Christmas time when there's a lot of overeating.
No, I'm a celebrity, I don't do them, but a lot of people... Yeah. A lot of people do.
You have people who do it for you.
I have people who do it for me, yeah.
I'm in that weird middle ground where I do it, but I'm very ashamed of it.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the football for a second. Yeah. Leicester, let's start with Leicester City. It's a beautiful story, and I will say, as an Arsenal fan, it will continue to be a beautiful story until about five games in the end if they're still top.
Yeah.
And I'll think, hang on a minute, we can't finish above Man City, Man United, Liverpool and Chelsea and go second to Leicester. Like, that would be depressing.
Look, I'm a proper gooner, but there is a part of me that would quite like to see Leicester win the league.
Next season.
No, why?
Because this is our one chance, is what I'm thinking. I know what you mean.
I love Arsenal. I love them more than even penises. But I would just quite like to... It's a story. It's Leicester. They've already had their Christmas lunch. It's fine.
It's all right. 7:30 is fine.
It's Leicester... I mean, where they were a year ago.
It's hard for people to concentrate at this point.
Yeah, well,
but you know what?
I was thinking the penises anyway, so I've adapted.
Okay. Leicester City.
I mean, they were a year ago. It looked like they were dead set to go down. I mean,
well, that was the point.
Yeah, Nigel Pearson sort of wrestling on the touchline. Yeah.
They were bottom of the table last Christmas. And now they're top.
And who won the league last year?
Well, it's not quite the same. Chelsea are 15th currently. And we will talk, of course, more fully about
Bring
Chelsea.
It on.
Yeah, I know people are looking forward to that. But, Leicester were bottom last year. And how much credit does Nigel Pearson take, do you think, for this? I mean, he hasn't been offered another job. He's got a cage fight against Conor McGregor. I think that could go either way, to be honest. How much credit does he get?
He sort of performed a miracle back end of last season.
Yeah, he did.
You know, kept them up and all that sort of stuff. Then he loses his job to Ranieri. And now they're top. I mean, it looks like Ranieri's the greatest managerial appointment of all time, isn't it?
Because Gary Lineker said that not our ideal appointment. He was a bit sniffy about him.
Yeah.
And obviously a big Leicester fan. And now everyone's looking at Ranieri going, wow, he's
Why didn't
really
he take
good.
Over at Bayern Munich?
What if Vardy leaves? What if Vardy goes or Mahrez goes?
Hey, why would you?
Why would you? I don't know. Maybe £50,000 a week extra. That's a...
So it's worth... this is, for instance, why Swansea got rid of Gary Monk, which I think two or three years ago, if they'd been in this position, they probably wouldn't have got rid of Gakpo.
No, but
with
now...
this new money coming into the game from this, you know, from televised football...
thank you,
being,
BT.
Thank you very much. being in the Premiership, yeah. even the bottom, yeah. is staying in the Premiership is worth £120 million per season.
Yeah.
So that's why I guess Gary Monk that's had to go, because yeah. of the
we'll
risk
talk
of going down.
Of
right?
course.
So if everybody's getting £120 million just for turning up,
yeah.
then they can afford to pay Vardy the extra money.
I can't
they can
wait.
Match.
He's got to ask for a pay rise. I think he's earned it
yeah,
so far. This
I also
year.
Cannot wait for some of that money to come into comedy. For me to earn £120 million just for turning up.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year and welcome. Welcome to the Football's On. Here we are again in the BT Sports studio in London's glittering East End. I'm joined this week... I leave pauses when there's meant to be laughs. I'm joined this week by two men with contrasting levels of fashion sense. It's Ian Moore and Josh Widdicombe, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, indeed.
Now, last weekend on this very channel, Paul Scholes tore into Manchester United saying that the players looked bored, the fans looked bored, and even LVG looked bored. In fact, so many pundits were having a go at them, it was starting to get boring. It's almost like Man United are not concerned about our feelings.
I don't... I know, but I think...
They are dull, aren't
no,
they?
No, they're not.
What?
No,
thank
sorry.
You, madam. Yes,
but
somebody knew.
This season, they've brought me more joy than they have been throughout the 90s.
I know what you're saying.
Every week when I see 0-0, it's joy. It's amazing.
I mean, I understand what Josh is saying, of course.
Yes.
But, you know, Manchester United are one of those teams, you want them to attack, don't you? You want them to go swashbuckling forward.
Well, no, you want them to lose. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, I want them to lose in an exciting way.
Yes.
It is dull to watch. The thing, I like watching LVG during these things.
He's the most interesting thing.
Well, he is, because he just sits and he won't celebrate when they score, which I always find that really odd anyway. But he'll come out in press conferences and say, well, you know, we need to play with wingers. Yeah, that's your job, mate. You know, yeah. we need more cohesiveness. We need to be more creative. You've spent £250 million. Again, your job, pal.
It's yeah. true. Is it true that the British Medical Association have issued a warning not to watch Man United while operating heavy machinery? Have you heard that? I mean, should they use tapes of Man United to force confessions out of prisoners in Guantanamo Bay? I mean, I think there's a number. Listen, aside from last
night, I'm enjoying them.
We spent quite a lot of time working on them. All right, I'll try this one. He's reacted with outrage to the news that, along with Theo Pentel and barbiturates, the BMA have added Manchester United to the prescribed list of anaesthetics. Yeah. Yeah, they thought they didn't like that one.
I think
so
you're going to get the point in this round if we're not careful.
I'm thinking I might be giving it to myself. But Newcastle Manchester United, I tuned into that more through hope than expectation.
Yeah.
You know, and then it turned out to be brilliant. Is this why you have to watch every football game just in case?
Well, yeah, that's what I've told my girlfriend, and I'm that is, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Please give a lovely welcome to Ian Moore and Omid Jalili. Now, one set of fans who may have been better off leaving early or possibly not going at all are the long-suffering fans of Aston Villa. Yes, the villains are generally agreed to be one of the worst teams in Premier League history. How bad are they, I hear you ask? Colo Torre scored against them, that's how bad. lads, if you lived next door to them and you were given free tickets and a litter to carry you in... I was just improvising a bit there. A litter. Yeah, yeah. Four
what,
big
like
blokes
four
carrying
four kittens?
You. Four kittens, yeah, to carry you in. Would you go and watch Villa at the moment? They are the worst, aren't they?
No. And it's this thing as well. It's that it doesn't seem to me that... Clubs who have American owners are particularly happy, are they? Who else has got American owners?
Blazers,
Man United, Glazers. You've got Sunderland, you've got Ellis Short.
Yep.
Randy Lerner at Villa. You know, I just don't... That's not going very
well. Arsenal as well. Thank you, Keith. Arsenal, in fact.
I didn't realise you were owned by Americans.
Yeah. Oh, right. Officer Cronky.
Officer Cronky.
Yeah.
Was he in Top Cat?
Yeah, he was in Top Cat. Yeah, he was. There was a great tweet, by the way. That's Julian Lescott's car. Apparently, which he tweeted from his pocket. Is that actually possible to do?
I think
it's a nice car.
We are so addicted to Twitter these days that even your buttocks will tweet and attach a photograph.
But it's a bit of a smack in the face of the poor fans. You know, these fans who've just watched Villa lose 6-0 at home Jeremy Lescott, by way of apologising, tweets a £120,000 car.
Well,
I mean, that's not really being.
It's not,
you know,
very clever, is it? It's not
contrite,
especially, especially. I mean, especially Colo Torre scored. I think when the corner came over, he didn't even jump.
He can't. He can't jump. Actually,
he can't actually.
He had his phone in his pocket.
It's
difficult. Villa. When I was growing, I mean, Villa won the European Cup.
Villa won the European Cup in 1981 or something.
You know, Randy Lerner's been trying to sell for a long time.
Yes. So
what you need is the Villa fan who's got a lot of money and a bit of celebrity status. Prince William.
William to buy. Can a royal...
Where your mouth is.
Can they do that, though?
Can they do that? No. David Cameron's the other one, of course, who could... I mean, how would it...
Up the Hammers?
Up the Hammers. He doesn't know which claret and blue team he likes. But how would it be for the Prime Minister to own Aston Villa? That'd be a bit odd, wouldn't it? Well, you could sort of slant things in their favour.
I don't think they'd be doing any better, would they?
No, I don't think they would. It's Sean Walsh and Charlie Baker, everyone! British managers are having mixed fortunes in the Premier League this season. Sam Allardyce and Alex Neil are battling to stay in, while Mark Hughes Stoke are playing great football and are in with a chance of the Europa League. Mm. Sean, can Dortmund do it on a wet Thursday night in Stoke?
I'm furious about
what?
Hughes.
Why?
Doing well. Because he was at QPR.
Yeah, he's good for you.
Yeah, and he didn't win. The season he was sacked, he didn't win a game.
But QPR...
Didn't win a game?
Yeah, but the players...
He didn't win a game that season after, like, 20 games, something like that. And then Fernandes said, well, look, you've got to go. It's a bit awkward. You literally haven't won for 20 games.
I love it. The elephant in the room.
Yeah.
You haven't won a single game. I mean,
so he had to go, and then he somehow gets another Premier League job.
He got Man City, didn't he? Or was that after?
No, that's the same. Man City, Fulham, QPR, did horrendous at QPR... Somehow managed to keep to get another Premier League job.
And he's doing very well. He's doing well.
What's going on?
And he's a safe pair of hands, isn't he?
He's
the proverbial safe pair of hands.
But you know, we've got Man United fans in the room. Would you like Mark Hughes as the manager? I mean, he's a good manager. Do you know what? I thought that was a good idea.
That was a good idea.
He wouldn't be intimidated, would he, by the surroundings? He's got great thighs.
Great thighs. I was going to say he's got good thighs.
He's got great thighs.
What's happening here?
I don't get. They don't get this on Football Focus. Keith, you've got some things to say about British.
Keith, show us your thighs. Come on.
Don't do that.
Actually, I've got very bandy legs. I was told I could never stop a pig in a passage. I don't know why. Does that ever occur? You open up a door and a pig comes running through? I don't know.
Anyway. Back to the show.
Oh, no. He started it.
We're live on BT Sport.
What I'm trying to say is, look, you've got Allardyce, you've got Pardew, you've got Pulis. I mean, they can all send you to sleep, can't they? They moan, don't they, about, British managers don't get a chance. Yes, because you're boring, mate. Absolutely boring. We're paying top dollar, and you watch their TV players like, I'm back in the room. Yeah, it's like, West Brom, bang.
But Keith, I do take your point. Tony Pulis is pretty dull. He is the loudest manager in the Premier League. I was watching West Brom last week. All I could hear on the telly was Saido. Saido! I mean, the whole time, it was a bit like that Fenton when that dog ran away. I thought, Saido's ran off chasing deer.
That's Louis van Gaal's management style there. Saido!
Yes.
Just side.
Yes.
Sideways.
Sam Allardyce. No, they got it. They
I know, didn't... I just do it. After the...
I just didn't think it was that far.
After the... After the Go Dutch joke.
You peaked on mugs, mate. You peaked on mugs.
After the Go Dutch joke, I thought I had to explain my jokes. Yeah.
Sam Allardyce has said that if he was called Samuel Allardyce, he's, he'd get more respect.
People look at me and go, that name doesn't suit you. Yeah.
He's a fat northern fella, isn't he?
You made that name up, mate. Yeah.
But he looks like, if he was wearing a frilly shirt, he'd look like a club comic from the 70s, wouldn't he?
I like him. I'd give him a bigger job.
Give Sam Allardyce a bigger job than
Sam. Newcastle moaning about their manager. They've had Pardew, they've had Allardyce. Got rid of both of them. Both are doing their best to keep teams in the Premiership on smaller budgets.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair point. Not funny, but a fair point. Oh. And do you know what? I'm giving the points to Charlie Baker, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm an actor.
Thank you. We are broadcasting live from BT Sport Stratford.
right next to the stadium where next year West Ham will fail to win a home game for the entire season. I'm joined by two behemoths of broadcasting. It's Ian Moore and Alistair McGowan, ladies and gentlemen.
Behemoths.
Yes. Last Wednesday, I decided to brave the short trip to White Hart Lane to watch Arsenal take on Spurs. Now, as a vaguely recognisable Arsenal fan, I was subjected to some abuse as I walked down Tottenham High Road. And in an attempt to disguise myself, I decided to remove my glasses, which was fine, except I couldn't see. Honestly, I just kept bumping into thugs. Have you been to Spurs? You ever been to Spurs away?
What, to see Arsenal?
No, not to see Arsenal, just generally.
To the game, yeah, I've seen.
Because it's quite Tottenham High Road. I think they need a Waitrose, that's my point. I genuinely think a Waitrose would do it, don't you think?
But Boris Johnson has said he's going to completely, revitalise the whole area. So, let's be absolutely clear about this. The new Tottenham Hotspur ground, we're going to revitalise the whole area. So you will get that Waitrose. That is a promise.
Great. I think it would work.
That is such an Arsenal fan suggestion.
No,
isn't
not
it?
At all.
They need is a Waitrose.
Well, what I'm saying is, if they're there and they think, I want to have a punch up, and they go, oh, look, ciabattas for £4. Oh, rocket and crayfish, I must have that. I went in the worst public toilet I've ever been in my life. And I was going to say I've been in a lot of bad public toilets, but this sounds terrible. But it was just appalling. I think it does need a little bit of gentrification. Is it just about the food outlets down there?
No.
Essentially, at the moment, it's a selection of kebabs. Which kebab do you want?
You need a cereal bar. That's what you're saying.
You need a cereal bar with Frosties for £4.40 a bowl.
Yes. That's what you need.
Well, I think that would cause more violence, frankly.
But you got the big derby at the weekend, Liverpool Everton, of course.
Yes, of course.
Big one. Alan Shearer was talking about Liverpool the other day. He said, Liverpool worry me because I just don't see any talent there. I don't think they've got the talent. And you look back over the years, they've got players like Hansen, Lawrenson, Thompson, McManaman, Gerrard. Owen, and I don't see any of the current Liverpool squad going on to do punditry at that level. I really, really don't.
So, news from Ghana. Kwesi Nyantakyi, president of the Ghanaian FA... I didn't make that up, it's true. He wants more sexy women at the game to improve attendances, which, let's face it, is flawless logic. Because if they can attract 36,000 sexy women to every game, that would significantly improve their average gates. Here's what he said. He actually said this. Me, I've said this over and over again. We must let sexy ladies enter our stadia and the men will readily follow them into the stadium to watch the games. Because that's what we like, blokes. We're a bit like,
Is he a friend of Sepp Blatter's? Because I think that was his thing about women's football, wasn't it?
Well, it's a bit like the dog in Tom and Jerry, when they wave a bit of meat.
Yes.
And essentially, we're the same with women, apparently.
I'll tell you what, it takes a special kind of idiot to go to a football match and say, I'll tell you what this needs to do. It needs to appeal to men a bit more.
Well,
I in the beholder.
I've got to be careful because the wife's in, but in the past, I've favoured a woman of a more ample size, for instance.
I think you're going down the whole
wrong line.
All I'm saying.
Are you saying the
new chair of the Ghanaian FA?
I'm happy to take that role on.
What a beautiful thought.
What does he expect these sexy women to do then?
What
is he expecting these sexy women to just walk in and then the men will follow like rats and the Pied Piper? And then what? They'll leave out the tunnel at half time?
I don't know what you meant by that, but. Didn't you used to have cheerleaders at Fulham? Weren't they poached by West Ham?
In the very bleak.
Yeah, they were transferred from Fulham to West Ham.
On deadline day.
£4.7 million.
Yeah,
would have come
to Arsenal, but they were too expensive for us.
Okay. And now, whilst all around are losing their heads, one voice of sanity still prevails. But we couldn't get him. So we got Keith Dover, man of the people.
Oh,
Keith. What have you got for us, Keith?
Well, congratulations to Leicester City. Not just because it's a great underdog story, and let's face it, we all love an old dog in this country, but because Leicester City...
What a lovely start to this piece, Keith.
Thanks very much. But because Leicester City have given a big boot up the backside, not just to the top four, but to every Premiership club in this country. Because all, there's no hiding place now for all the mediocre managers and club owners who come up with a
harsh
usual old excuse every season, we'll be happy just to make 40 points. Well, if it's just about survival, why don't you hire Bear Grylls, OK? Because with all this money pouring in, OK, is getting mid-table really your ambition? I mean, really? I mean, fans now will be demanding, if Leicester City can win the Premiership, why can't we, OK? Because Leicester being champions is the best thing for every Everton, Stoke, Chelsea fan in this country.
Boom! Yes, Chris.
You know what I'm going to say? Because it gives hope. It gives hope to all the mid-table teams, right? And listen, all the, you know, and you know all the same old boring faces, right? You know who they are. They know who they are, right? Keith. If they can't cut it anymore, then it's hasta la vista, baby. Bon voyage. Elvis has left the building. Pick a window, mate, and go through it. Your days are over, right? OK? Because there's a new breed of manager that's going to come through. Someone who actually might want to win a Premiership, win a couple of Cups. And who knows, the knock-on effect might even help the England team. Whoa. But that's going overboard, and that would really be a fairy story, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
and let's make Ranieri Sir Ranieri, OK? Give him a knighthood. Quick.
Yeah. Right, Keith.
Very nice.
Right. Honestly, Keith, if only you had control of the New Year's honours list.
One day, mate, one day. It'll happen.
I know. I mean, I think what Keith says is a fair point, though. I mean, up to this point, Tony Pulis and managers like that were saying 40 points and then we're happy.
Yeah, well, now, that's the thing. You know, you ask a manager at the beginning of the season, so some of them are saying, well, you know, what are you aiming for? Well, the 40 points thing, that's just above failure. That's starting to see, go, what are you aiming for? Just above failure will do. That's not good enough.
No, well, it doesn't seem to be anymore, does it?
That's what my wife says to me very often.
Just above failure.
How was that? Just above failure.
Yeah, no, but I think Keith makes a point. You know, Leicester and Tottenham are the top two in the Premier League at the moment. Spurs, obviously, they're a decent team, what have you, but Leicester...
It's always that thing we can't compete, innit? We can't compete with the might of these. We can't compete with the spending power. You don't need to compete. Get a good team that plays for each other.
Get a good team.
A good team.
If only we thought of that.
Good team that plays for each other. Play the same team. They've played 22 players all season.
Yeah, but they didn't have any other football
to play. That's why they've won, then. Yeah, there are 22 players on the pitch.
Yeah, then we thought that Kante was everywhere. It was just
I think playing 4-4-2, playing 4-4-2 is out.
Yeah, but it's all very well you saying all this, saying, well, he had 4-4-2 and Mahrez was brilliant. Yeah. But Mahrez couldn't get a game in the French third division.
Yeah.
Kante, no one noticed. I mean, talk about under the radar, he's 4'10", isn't he? Vardy was playing non-league, he was working in a factory four years ago. If Arsenal or Man United had bought him, everyone would have gone, what are you buying him for?
It's because they dug King Richard up, isn't it? From the
that's what they're saying.
And they play in the King Power Stadium. It's magic. There's magic in Leicester.
What's Richard III got to do with it?
He's come alive in Leicester.
No, he hasn't. Since they dug him up, they've been very, very good.
Very good.
You know. Okay. And where have they buried him?
They won the snooker.
They buried him in the centre circle. I don't know, I made that up.
The King Power Stadium.
So now that Leicester have won the title and upset the odds, Hollywood has come calling. Mm. And the man who wrote the screenplay for Goal and Goal 2, do you see any of those two, those films, has offered his considerable talents to bring the Vardy story to the big screen. Charlie, you can play the lead.
I don't know if you've seen EastEnders. I was thinking June Brown, who plays Doc Cotton.
It's not a bad call.
She'd be I think she'd be very good.
She can still get up and down. I don't mean that. You've got a Mahrez, a bit of Mahrez about you with a beard.
I can give you a bit of Mahrez.
I think you can do a bit of Mahrez. We've had various.
What, just because he's got a beard?
Essentially that. That's just the beard.
How about that bloke from Iran, Ahmadinejad? He's got a beard as well.
Ahmadinejad and I. Okay. Vinny Jones apparently has been approached to play Nigel Pearson.
Oh, yeah,
because it's not a stretch to be slightly violent and dangerous.
Well, Nigel Pearson could play Nigel Pearson, though. He's not doing anything else at the moment, is he?
Well, they've invited him on the open bus tour to drive the bus.
Oh, you know, this is a true story. They said that actually Louis Tomlinson, who's One Direction, I didn't know this, Louis Tomlinson is going to play Jamie Vardy. But I thought it was Louis Spence. Honestly, I'm thinking, That's a bit of a stretch, isn't it? I can't see that working. And what about Idris Elba? Is the world ready for a black Vardy?
Wes Morgan, isn't it?
Who's going to play Ranieri? Because that's the main figure, isn't it? That's going to be the main story.
I think you saw my audition earlier on, Ian.
It was appalling. Oh, Charles. What about Sue Pollard?
Oh, it'd be nice. Sly Stallone as Ranieri.
Sly Stallone.
Who? Worth. Robert Hoof.
Is he back to Richard III?
I think he is. It's time for a quiz. This is Who Said That? I'm going to show you some pictures of some great thinkers and give you some quotes, and you have to match the quotes to the thinker. Let's have a look at the thinkers. They're down here on the screen. There they are. Bill Shankly, George Orwell, Eric Cantona, Jean-Paul Sartre, Jose Mourinho and Keith Dover.
Of course.
I know. First quote. It's the first quote. In a football match, everything is complicated by the presence of the other team. Which one of our thinkers said that? Do we have any thoughts as to who it might be?
Jose Mourinho.
Jose Mourinho. It's a good guess, but wrong.
I'll go for Shankly.
You'll go for Shankly. It's wrong as well. It was actually Jean-Paul Sartre. Yes, Jean-Paul Sartre, although right now that doesn't apply if you're playing against Sunderland. is it Jean-Paul Sartre or Jean-Paul Sartre?
It depends whereabouts in France you're from and what accent you want to give it.
That was way more complicated than I was expecting. Okay,
I'm going to get out of the hole.
No points. No points for that round. Second quote, if you're not sure what to do with a ball, just pop it in the net and we'll discuss the options afterwards. That's a great quote. Do we know who that is?
That's got to be Bill Shankly.
It is Bill Shankly. That's very, very good. That is Bill Shankly. After Bill Shankly was sacked, he took to hanging around the Liverpool training ground, not doing much and sort of getting in the way. So a bit like Brendan Rodgers now, really. point for that one to Ian Moore, ladies and gentlemen. Third quote. I like this one. He said this, I'm told that the match in Glasgow was a free-for-all. Those bloody Scotchmen again, eh? What are they like, mate?
Keith Dover said that.
Keith Dover. Not Keith Dover, no.
I'm having a mare here.
Think that's George Orwell.
It is George Orwell. Because,
Because of the word Scotchman as opposed to Scotsman, it's an older way of saying it. So that puts Orwell in that bracket.
That's true. Yeah. Do you know what?
Welcome to University Challenge.
Ian Moore is right. George Orwell famously wrote in 1984 a novel about a dystopian future which was bleak, authoritarian, and joyless. So a bit like Stamford Bridge at the moment. the point goes to Ian Moore there. Last quote for you. You can clap if you want. Why not? You can clap that one. Last quote. You'll like this one. Do you know what would make football interesting? Multi-ball. Yes, that is, of course, Jose Mourinho. no, it was. It was Keith Dover, of course. Do you know what? That's again, he started off saying multi-ball. We need more than one ball. And we started off going, no, Keith, you're mad. And then we went, actually, that'd be quite entertaining, wouldn't it? I quite like the idea.
Yeah.
You told me that Wayne Rooney has been writing love poetry.
Yeah, yeah.
To you, which is a surprise.
No,
yeah.
No, it came out this
you're
week.
You're old enough, sure.
There's a documentary next week.
Oh, we know what he means. Believe it.
No one's got hold of these poems, but I have managed to get hold of one of these poems. I could read it for you if you like. Now.
Yeah, okay. Yes,
Wayne Rooney's. This is one of Wayne Rooney's actual poems. Here it goes. This is Wayne Rooney's poem. Oh, Colleen, my Colleen, they all thought you were a loony to want to become Mrs. Wayne Rooney. I know I don't look a bit like George Clooney. You could even say I'm a little baboony. But you helped me grow up and stop wanting to moony. You made me weak-kneed, one might even say swoony. Now I love nothing more than us getting spoony. Except playing football, obvs, which will always be my first love, really, soz.
Beautiful.
There you go. Beautiful. I've got more for later. More for later.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.